might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I got to
you're going to lose the attitude?
I don't come at me with that energy. Listen, I don't have time. Also, don't have
you
time
a puss
for it.
On.
I don't have time for it. I got a guy, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to have him for.
Okay.
He just came to me just before we sat down to record.
Okay.
And
in
I need
like a fit.
Yeah, I need to debut him. I need you to meet him. And I don't know much about him. I haven't even really explored the contours of who he is or what he does or why he is the way he is.
Yeah. You know me, though. I'm a storyteller. I can help kind of flesh out some of those details.
Okay. Do you want to meet him?
That's what it says on my resume.
Great. Do you want to meet
Tanner
him?
Greenway.
And then we can oh, storyteller. A storyteller? Yeah, you and fucking literally everybody else. You want to meet him, and then we can maybe do some other scenarios with him if we'd like him?
Yes, I feel like you're putting pressure on it, and I'm balking. I'm already balking, and I don't think that's what you want.
No, that's not what I want.
So let's not put any pressure
on
this.
Okay, let's just meet him and see if we like
him. I would
just
like to meet him.
Okay. Hey, you like dancing?
I guess.
What about doity dancing?
I liked it in this movie, I'll tell you that. Hachi machi.
You like the doity dancing?
Now, what is he supposed to be? Is he like a Lenny?
Let's try him
character?
In a different situation. No, he's not a
is
Lenny
he like a
character.
Brooklyn guy?
He's more like a Brooklyn guy. What about...
Wait, was Lenny the little one or the big one?
Let's try another one. Let's be at the club. Lenny was the big one. Let's be at the club. Hey!
Oh,
hey! 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 Ah, great!
Wait, am I at the club with you?
Yeah.
Now I have to be a guy too?
Yeah, you have to be a guy.
Okay.
Hey, this is a great club.
I can't hear you.
Hey, I'm noticing everybody's...
I can't hear you.
I'm noticing...
The music's just too loud. I can't hear you.
You see everybody dancing around here?
I'll take one more. Just another one of these.
Hey, you see everybody...
Yeah, one more of these.
No, I'm asking you. You see... Hey, I'm dancing here.
Vodka cranberry.
You see everybody...
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. Do they got any doity dancing in this club is what I want to know. They got any doity dancing? I'm enjoying the dancing, but I'm looking to see if they got any doity dancing.
We'll get to the name.
of the guy?
Character.
Yeah. I think his name is Ray.
I want to workshop him a little bit. What are you trying to channel? What are you supposed to say to a kid when they hand you a shitty picture that you can't tell what it is? You're supposed to say something. You're supposed to say describe this picture to me.
You're not supposed to say this is good. You're supposed to say what are you doing?
You're not supposed to say what is this?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think
or guess at what it is. You're supposed to say can you tell me more about that's what you're supposed
to
say.
Yeah.
Jack, can you tell me more about this character?
Okay, I think his name is Ray.
Okay.
And his thing is that...
Is he a manta ray?
No.
Well, you haven't put any parameters on this fictional universe of yours. You just threw me into the deep end.
His thing is that he's just discovered that there's like one more level of dancing.
Oh, and it's dirty.
But he wants to like get involved, but doesn't know how. So whenever he's in a situation where there is dancing, should we do him at a wedding?
I know how to do it. Do you want me to do it?
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll be Ray.
Okay, you be Ray. Yeah.
Okay. Can I help you with those watermelons? Because that's how you get into Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah. No.
You have to help. It's like the Freemasons, where you have to be invited in by another dirty dancer. The easiest way to do that is to haul some watermelons for
Them.
Just like Bibby does.
Okay. Well, you haven't. Are you gonna? You want to continue this? Because you haven't said his catchphrase, and it's not.
Oh,
there's
right.
Nothing that's really happening for me. Just him asking
about
watermelons.
Right. Tell me more about his catchphrase.
It's doity dancing.
Oh yeah. Okay. Where did we end where did we finish the last scene?
At the club.
No, the one where I was carrying watermelons for you.
You asked me whether I wanted help carrying them.
Okay, and what was your response?
Yes, and could you show me the way to where the regular dancing is, please?
No, actually, I was hoping you would show me the way to the dirty dancing.
You can't do it. It's doity dancing.
Doity dancing. Why is he old-timey Brooklyn?
I don't know, man. I thought you were going to help me with this, and I guess not. I feel like I'm just getting resistance from you. You're unwilling to be helped. Just getting resistance from you. I told you that I just met him. He just came to me just as I sat down. I wanted to take him out for a spin. I wanted to meet him more. I wanted to learn about him, what makes him tick. But it's hard to do with an unwilling partner.
I'm willing, Jack. I don't know if I'm able.
Okay, fine. Well, maybe we'll visit him again later in the episode once we've had a little bit of time to simmer down.
I'll tell you what, Jack. Yeah. You just put your pickle on everyone's plate, college boy.
Okay.
Leave the hard stuff to me.
Okay.
That's a cool thing to say when we're starting the podcast.
That is a cool thing to say. Who says that?
Patrick Swayze says it to the guy in this movie.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you think you can keep that straight, Johnny? What you can, can't lay your hands on?
You just put your pickle on everybody's plate, college boy, and leave the hard stuff to me.
Whoa. Because some guy was giving him shit about being a dance instructor.
Do you want to know about a weird disorder I have?
Yeah, please.
I realized yesterday, because I watched this movie with Sarah and her dad, who was visiting and who had no choice but to get off the airplane and watch Doity Dancing with us.
Dick Nick, as I call him.
Okay, that's fine to call him that, I guess.
Will you tell him I call him that?
I will not.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I'll just let him know. Hey, Nick, just wanted to let you know, I was talking to Jack last night on the podcast.
Yeah.
We were kicking around a nickname for him. What do you think of Thick Nick?
Yeah, it just doesn't fit him in any way. What I learned is that the disorder that I already knew about is more extensive than I realized. I used to think that the disorder was that I can't think about Kevin Costner and Patrick Swayze at the same time because they occupy the same space in my brain.
Wildly different people.
To me, they are the same man. And part of what's nice about
it. They don't even appear in the same kind of movies.
What's nice about it is I know that one of them's dead, but because I can't think of them both at the same time and I can't differentiate them from one another, there's always some doubt in my mind about which one's dead. And so it's nice. It's like Schrodinger's Swayze.
Oh, okay. But isn't that a little bit like, you got to take the good with the bad with that? Because sure, at any moment you can think, oh, Patrick Swayze might still be alive.
Right,
but
exactly.
But then on the next moment you think,
Kevin Costner may be dead.
Kevin Costner has passed away.
Yeah. Well, I realized he hasn't.
He's on a hit TV show called Yellowstone.
I was explaining this to Thick Nick, as you call him, yesterday.
Yeah.
And
is he still here? Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still here. That's why I kind
of said. Is there any possibility of that he maybe just heard you call him Thick Nick?
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, that's it. He has to say nice shit to me, you know?
Yeah, he's your father-in-law.
So he was like, yeah, that's interesting.
He's like,
that's interesting. I also enjoyed meeting Ray. Is there any way we can fucking watch this movie? I just got off a plane. But he was like, that's interesting.
I assume that you do the same thing I do when I'm watching a movie or a TV show for this podcast.
Yeah.
Constantly pause it to write something down and laugh to myself.
Yeah. Constantly. He was like, well, what other movies has Patrick Swayze been in? And I was like,
how about a little movie called Ghost?
Yeah. And I was like, famously Pretty Woman. And he was like, no
false.
That's Richard Gere. And I was like, fuck, there's a third one.
Yeah, way off. Roadhouse? Thick?
Roadhouse, Ghost, Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights.
And then he was taken from us. He was not in Point Break, Jack?
Point Break, what a classic.
His best movie? Red Dawn, The Outsiders, Two Wong Fu.
Great
Black Dog. Did you see Black Dog?
No.
Black Dog was bad. It was 98. It was like the zenith. Not the zenith.
Nadir.
The nadir of Swayze's acting career.
R.I.P.
He wasn't in... Jack, shut up. He wasn't in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, but famously...
Jennifer Gray.
It was written
for him?
That guy from... Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, that's
no, not mean. Wait, Don't Tell Me. What's the Sunday morning NPR quiz show called?
Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah, the host of that wrote Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights.
That's not that interesting.
That That's incredibly interesting. Tell that to Thick Nick. See what he says of that.
I'm not going to. I don't think he'd appreciate it. You calling him that.
What? Now you tell me? You just you let me say it like a dozen times. Peter Sagal.
That's not interesting.
It's so interesting. I'm gonna text my wife. You text Sarah. I'm gonna text Jamie. Don't put any spin on the ball.
Okay, fine.
Just say, is it interesting that the host of
is it interesting. I'm just gonna say, did you know?
Yes.
That the host of Wait, Don't Tell Me, is that fine? I want to make it as interesting as possible.
And then put in commas, Peter Sagal.
I'll put it in parentheses. Peter.
That's how you text your wife?
Sagal, yeah. Wrote the screenplay for, in quotes, Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights. Okay?
I texted my wife the
same. You okay with that? And then with a question mark at the end.
I did it in plain English.
Okay. So I've texted her. That's out there now. And we'll see what she.
Jamie says, I did.
Is that interesting?
I'm going to say pretty interesting, right?
Okay, that's fine. That's a little bit of spin on the ball because it's kind of leading the witness, don't you think?
Jamie says, sure. So,
okay. Sarah has written back and she says, what the fuck?
That sounds like she's pretty into it, huh?
Yeah, that sounds like she's pretty into it. So it sounds like Jamie and I are kind of on the same page here.
No. Jamie said that she said she's incredibly enthusiastic about
it. No, she said, sure.
No, and then she texts me again.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. I can show you. Look, I'll take a screenshot. I said, did you know that the host of Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal, wrote the screenplay for Dirty Dancing 2? She said, I did. And I said, pretty interesting, right? And she said, sure. And then she said, it's one of the more interesting things I've ever heard.
That's not true.
Absolutely true. And she said that I'm very handsome.
That's highly unlikely. I'm waiting for that screenshot.
Oops. I sent it to my wife instead of you.
That's going to be awkward.
And she said, you're dumb.
She said,
just wrote another
dumb?
Message. I don't even think she knew I was recording with you tonight.
Now Sarah has texted me and said no. So now I think that's not true.
What?
Yeah, I think it's not true.
Could that possibly not be true?
Yeah, because Sarah looked shit up. She says, I don't believe this.
Tell her to look on his fucking IMDb, on his Wikipedia page, under the heading screenwriter. Peter Sagal has written screenplays. One for the 1996 science fiction martial arts thriller Savage. Another for Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights, a 2004 sequel to the original Dirty Dancing.
So you've sent me this screenshot, and Jamie has said, sure. And then she said, pretend I answered however you need for the bit.
No, she didn't say that. She said,
pretty salty.
Let me read it. Let me read it.
I don't think she likes it.
She said, that's one of the more interesting facts I've ever heard. You're very handsome. Jack is dumb, it says here.
Sarah says, did you make this up to post on IMDb?
I'm texting your wife now.
Okay. But I feel like this is really derailed. Hey, I guess, can I tell the listeners that it's a podcast hosted by me, Jack Shepherd, and you, Tanner Greenring, to some extent, that is about romance. And this week we are going to be discussing the classic Patrick Swayze, Jennifer Grey film, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah, I have said that.
Okay.
And can I say, because it's still in my body to say it from about 10 minutes ago, that Sarah said we should watch Point Break for the podcast. And I was like, that's not a romance. And she's like, yes, it is. And I was like, oh, my God, yes, it is. It's a fucking romance between Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, it's a beautiful love story between Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. I mean, it's kind of tragic.
By the way,
this isn't fun.
Jack's been calling your dad Thick Nick.
Don't you dare. Let's say something about the film, I think.
Your wife is just curbing me, just like stonewalling me.
She's not responding?
No, I sent her a screenshot of Wikipedia where it says that he's the author of that film.
It's not interesting. I can't believe how long we've talked about it.
Incredibly interesting.
Nobody puts Daddy in a corner, but this week Daddy did get into the corner of his favorite sectional couch and watched the hit movie Dirty Dancing featuring Patrick Swayze.
Yes, I watched it too. I curled up into my favorite corner of the couch, the one where the armrest is broken because of how often and how aggressively I lean on it.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like people put Daddy in a corner all the time over at the Green Ring household.
Daddy puts Daddy in a corner. Daddy puts Daddy in a corner.
Yeah.
And people are constantly trying to get him out of the corner, and he just
is not interested. Not
yeah. I'm watching my pictures.
Yeah.
I watched the film this morning.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's great. Have you seen it before?
Probably.
It
but
rules.
I didn't remember any of the
I had the time of my
details.
Fucking life watching this movie.
Yeah, I did too.
The time of my life.
I did too.
And
I did too.
Do you notice how they do that as a leitmotif through the film? Like, they'll play, like, little bits, little snippets of the melody of that song all the time.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. And I think, once again, was that song written for this film?
Oh, it might have been. I don't know.
Romance movies have a real way of, like, amplifying a song.
Oh, it's such a great
song. I think this
song.
Is the third one. This is the third time we've encountered a song that was written
the ghost
for
song?
The film.
Yeah.
Ghost song, Iris.
Oh, Iris. Good point. Yeah. Wow.
And maybe now, Time of My Life.
Time of My Life.
I mean, I'm going to have to look it up, so you're going to have to
I wish you wouldn't. I absolutely wish you wouldn't.
Going to have to look it up.
Feels like we've done a lot of it. Why don't I say a little bit of the plot of the movie?
That's a good karaoke song. I've had a lot of fun singing that at karaoke with people.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Baby, her name is
You just pull someone out of the crowd?
Yeah.
You say, come on up. Yes!
What?
Written for the film. Wait. Yes, it's from the soundtrack of... I've had of Dirty Dancing.
Sarah says the boys who cry trivia. She says she is claiming that she doesn't believe us because we often make up facts to post on IMDb, and we've really kind of
just remind her that it doesn't matter if it's real or not. Is it interesting? That's the important part. It doesn't matter if it's real.
This is how we all got into this situation, this dystopia in the first place, Tanner.
It is real. I will say this. It is real.
Yeah.
But that's
this
not
is
the
what
important
we get.
Part.
I told you we shouldn't post fake facts on IMDb. I knew something bad was going to happen. Now my own wife doesn't believe us.
Oh, it's just like that one fucking movie.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
Yeah.
Pop quiz, hotshot. And you may not go to Google. Pop quiz, hotshot. Ready?
Yes.
Baby in this film, played by Jennifer Grey, famously hates being called Baby.
Yes.
What is her real name?
Francis.
God damn it. I didn't think you would get it.
It's a name in my family. My great grandmother is Francis. My
okay.
mom's middle name is Francis. My sister's name is Francis. My sister's middle name is Francis. My cousin's name is Francis.
Yeah.
So when she said that, I was like, oh, it's the Putney name.
Okay. So you recognize it. I was like, Tanner's not gonna remember this, but I do because I listen.
Yeah, yeah. I also listen to the film.
Yeah. Okay.
When I'm watching it.
Yeah, I'll believe it. So baby
any word on the level of interest in that fact, or
I didn't. My level of interest in it has fully waned. Like
of
the meter has entirely
would.
Run out on it.
Of course, yours.
So would. I didn't even respond to Sarah claiming that we're fake newsing her.
Regardless of whether or not it's true,
yeah,
which it is, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. You're still on this.
Is it
like a real dog with a bone? It's not that interesting. It's like a fucking, it's literally a fact about a guy from NPR. It's like fundamentally not interesting.
Oh,
it's
like you don't listen to NPR.
Yeah, I don't.
Look at cool guy over here. He doesn't listen to NPR.
Cyril
she's
and
a
I
slow to respond tonight.
Can I share with something with you children? That's dad talk? Yeah, she's trying to put one child to bed while looking after the other because daddy has to do his podcast. Can I share with you some dad talk?
Yeah, please.
Cyril and I, this is related to NPR. We like to do a bit in the car. Often Sarah is the butt of the bit, but it's not about her. It's just about grown-ups in general.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, man, mommy's so boring. And he'll be like, yeah, mommy's so boring. She probably likes documentaries.
I think she probably does.
And then he'll be like, mommy's so boring. She probably listens to the news. And then he'll be like, say more boring things. And then we'll just kind of do a run.
That's good. I can't wait till my son has like a sense of humor. Right now he just goes, poop.
Poop. That's
and
not...
then looks at you like.
Cyril would like that.
You going to laugh?
Cyril would like that. We like. He'll do poop jokes and stuff because it's what's going around at school. And I always laugh at all of his jokes, but never at any of the poop jokes. And he's just like, he's like not interested in audience feedback. Like he has not, that just signals to him that he has
to work harder.
Yeah.
I just got to crack it. I got to find the right poop joke. I'll just try them all until I finally get him. Miles and I have been pretending to be owl bears lately.
Oh, that sounds fun.
From D&D. We go, hoot, hoot.
That's
and we
fun.
Smash warriors with our claws.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's the thing that Cyril and I have been doing that I'm worried is like indulging the bad instincts is I've been anthropomorphizing his food and he fucking loves it. He'll be like, what's the pasta saying now? And I'll be like, oh, the pasta's saying, oh, I wonder what this nice, cool pool of water that I'm being dumped into is going to be like. It's nice to take a bath. And then he's like, what's it saying now? Now they're saying, ah! He fucking loves that shit, man.
Yeah. You're making him obsessed with death.
It's kind of fucked up, I guess.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Dirty Dancing. Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
This has been Dad Talk.
Bad Talk.
Did you say Bad Talk? I know why Sarah. I can tell you why Sarah hasn't responded to any of your texts, if you want to know. On this side, I've been hearing some like pretty epic screaming.
Yeah.
That's coming from the child. Yeah, bedtime.
I think next
it sounds like bedtime is not going well.
Okay. That's. You know what Sarah should do?
Mm-hmm.
Start a podcast.
Yeah. Let's say a little bit about the movie. Why don't you say it?
Okay. They all go to some kind of odd summer camp. Mm-hmm. It's the early 1960s.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to some kind of odd summer camp where grown-ups and kids go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, single moms who just want to fuck Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who's invited to Kellerman's Lodge.
Yeah.
In upstate New York.
Single moms. Not even single moms, necessarily.
Not even single moms.
Just moms
married
in general.
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer Grey, baby, Francis.
Yeah.
And family, including her annoying sister and mom and dad. Her dad is the sweetest man alive.
He's really nice.
Just the real good dad energy.
Yeah.
They're at this odd summer camp for grown-ups and children alike for the summer.
Yeah.
Baby is an activist. She's outspoken.
Yeah.
She's about to graduate from...
Let's say Bryn
some college.
Moore.
Huh?
Bryn Mawr. It sounds something like that, right? Or Vassar or...
Yeah, some liberal arts school. One of the five sisters,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
That, are you impressed that I knew that?
No.
Oh. I only learned about it about a week ago.
Okay.
Is
that one of your interesting facts?
Yeah. Do you know that there's five colleges called the Five Sisters?
Yeah. At a cocktail party,
New England?
If you get to Five Sisters, it means that the NPR fact, the Peter Sagal wrote Havana Nights fact, like fucking absolutely crashed
and burned. Or I'm on like hour
burned.
Two of just like really like occupying a crowd.
Everybody's crowded around you. You've exhausted everything you have to say about Peter Sagal writing Dirty Dancing Havana Nights. And they're like, and what else?
It's like, well, did you know that there's five colleges in New England called the Five Sisters, and I can name one of them?
Yeah.
What are the other ones? I know Smith.
This isn't... Your instincts for what's interesting are so wrong. Like, I recognize, I'm aware that I gave you the opening, but for you to, like, jump into that opening and be like, let's name them, is such an incorrect instinct.
Rip the opening open.
People are going to want to hear this thing that they could Google if they're interested.
Let's see. Patrick Swayze belongs to this pack of, like,
bros.
Traveling, like, bad boys.
Yeah, and girls.
Who, like, go camp to camp, and girls, go camp to camp every summer and, like, teach people how to dance and also...
Doity dance.
Have sex with
them.
Moms.
Yeah.
There's a kind of there's like a mean boy called like Robbie or something.
He's very mean. He's the handsome waiter.
He like addresses the boys to Jennifer Grey and says that they're dance people.
Yeah, these are dance
people.
They're
there to keep the guests happy.
Who's that? Oh, them. They're the dance people. They're here to keep the guests happy.
Yeah, and there is an element of, like, a wink-wink element that they're supposed to sleep with the horny moms.
They're invited to,
but, like, it's also, like, kind of a Christian vibes camp, and so the guy who runs it is like, don't you dare sleep with the horny moms, but make sure you do everything they need.
There are two kinds of help here. You waiters are all college guys, And I went to Harvard and Yale to hire you. And why did I do that? Why? I shouldn't have to remind you, this is a family place. That means you keep your fingers out of the water, your hair out of the soup, and show the goddamn daughters a good time. All the daughters. Even the dogs. Schlep them out to the terrace. Show them the stars. Romance them any way you want.
Right, and then, like, some of the dads just want to, like, hang with the bros.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, hey, Patrick Swayze, will you go sleep with my wife for a little bit?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Play cards.
Yeah, I'm going to play cards with the bros and have, like, one night of fucking peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's there.
Yeah.
The guy who's... owns the hotel's son is there too. He occupies the space of like Ben Stiller in Reality Bites.
Yes, kind of.
Handsome, but mostly well-meaning, disagree. But kind of takes a turn at the end.
Disagree. I think that he, I mean, yes. So that type is a famous type. It's like the nice guy who is genuinely nice, who gets passed over for the broody handsome guy. But this guy has got like a mean edge to him. I think he's meant to represent everything that's bad about these like waspy.
He
like,
does. This is a romance, by the way.
It's a romance.
100%.
Oh, I fell in love all over again.
It was
more than once just watching this. Yeah. Beautiful.
And in true Shakespeare fashion, that guy, I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
He ends up with baby's sister at the end.
Does he?
Yeah, they're like dancing and like having fun.
He sucks. He's super lame. But he's the baby's parents are like, and we should call it Francis. That's what she wants.
That's true. Yeah. Why would we keep? Yeah.
Francis's parents. Francis's is hard to say.
Okay, let's just say babies.
Let's say babies. Parents want. They're hoping that they'll get engaged. I think that this like absolute fucking tool.
Oh yeah, because he's going to Cornell.
Yeah, he's going to Cornell
for hotel management.
He's lame. He's really a loser.
Yep.
And everybody's trying to put baby in the corner.
No one actually does try to put baby in the corner until the very end of the movie. In fact, she's invited to almost everything.
Let me ask you this.
And she makes a lot of very good friends.
Yeah, she makes good friends. I want to ask you this before we get into the rest of the plot. Did you get fucking chills when he said nobody puts baby in a corner? Did you get chills all down your body? I got chills all down my body. Like, absolutely. It like I knew it was coming. It's famous. It's famous. Like, I was saying to Thick Nick, I'm going to say it really quiet because he might be right outside the door. I was saying to Thick Nick, nobody puts baby in a corner. And he was just like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, you haven't seen this movie? He was like, I don't think so. And I was like, okay.
Well, haven't you seen, like, an episode of popular TV over the last 30 years? Because it's constantly referenced.
I think he was like, no, he said, he was like, oh, I just thought that was an expression. Like, after the movie, he was like, oh, I thought he was quoting something.
That actually, it seems like an idiom almost, right? But put baby in the corner.
Full body chills, man. It's absolutely, it fully fucking delivers. Even though if you expect it, even if you know that it's an iconic line from this movie, it fully delivers when he says it.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Sorry about the disruption, folks. But I always do the last dance of the season. But this year, somebody told me not to. So I'm going to do my kind of dancing with a great partner, who's not only a terrific dancer, but somebody who's taught me that there are people willing to stand up for other people no matter what it costs them. Somebody who's taught me about the kind of person I want to be. Miss Frances Housman.
Sit down, Jake.
Now I had the time of my life. No,
yeah, and then the leap.
The leap, yeah.
Into his arms, his outstretched arms. And she floats in the
In but the we air. Should say the
anyway.
Movie. Yeah. Well, should we take a break?
We should take a break.
Let's take a break and then let's say the movie.
Perfect.
Okay.
Great.
Good. I'll be back.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And then put in sound effects there.
Okay, like, perfect. Like
time travel sound effects.
Okay, time travel sound effects. Okay.
Here, who's Jeff and who's Elmer?
Okay, well, so we should probably remind. Well, I'm Jeff.
Okay, and I'm Elmer.
Yeah,
Jeff.
Elmer.
Time traveled again. We've quantum leapt again. Is that being used by anyone?
I don't think so, because our movie that we first were quantum leapt into was in 1979. So that's the earliest example of someone using that as a concept.
Okay, so we quantum leapt into
another situation.
A situation where we were watching a stage production.
Yes. Yep. That seems to be where we end up.
Yeah. Written by a beautiful screenwriter. God, when did we we recorded that episode like 3 weeks ago, and I can't remember a single detail from that film.
From Somewhere in Time?
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the screenwriter.
What were they doing?
Dr.
They were
Quinn
in the
Medicine
audience
Woman.
of a stage show.
They were in the audience of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman's show, and she like suddenly like barrels the camera and says lines that don't seem to make any sense for
right.
The play that she's doing, and the other people on this stage are clearly freaked out, and she's talking directly to this time traveling love interest.
Yes.
And it's super weird, and Jeff and Elmer, who it turns out were guys who were in the
also there
show, and we inhabited their minds. And guys, if you think we're making this up, check out the IMDb page for Somewhere in Time. It's on there.
It's on there.
It's yeah. on there under like cut scenes. So yeah. it's on IMDb.
That's
so
official.
I'm not making
or
this up.
Watch the film on your Amazon Fire.
Yeah, and then just do the X-ray. Yeah, it's in there. And they, Jeff and Elmer, were like really impressed by what she was saying, but it also sounds...
We were impressed by it, Jeff.
Yes, Elmer, we were.
And just to remind you, we are time travelers.
Yes, and that's something we talked about when we were watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman do her...
Yes. So now we've traveled through time again to even earlier in time.
It's the 60s.
Now it's the early 60s, and we're here at some kind of...
dance,
like sleepaway camp for the entire family.
For horny moms, it feels.
Horny
like.
Mom, kind-hearted dad, kind of inept and aloof older sisters.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obvious protagonist, beautiful young Jennifer Grey.
Yeah, baby to us.
Baby to us. Well, Francis to me.
Yeah.
Except if we need to refer to, we need to make her name into like... add a possessive to it.
Yes.
Then she's baby, because it's babies.
Yeah, or if someone's put her in a corner, because nobody puts Francis in a corner.
No one puts Francis in a corner.
But what are we doing? Because this feels
Elmer,
like...
Elmer, I don't know what we're doing. We just... No, I'm Elmer. Jeff.
You're Elmer. Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing. We just warped here to this time. Obviously, there's something that we're supposed to... I don't get it. Are we Doctor Who? Like, are we Quantum Leap?
We're quantum leaping, I think. We've got to figure something out.
We have to figure something out.
And, well, let me start by stating the obvious.
Yeah.
This doesn't... I'm witnessing some regular dancing here.
Well, we're still outside. We're at some kind of sleepaway camp. That guy looks like he needs help with some melons.
Yes.
Luckily, there's a woman approaching him now.
Yeah.
Hi.
And we're about 10 feet behind them. So...
Yeah.
Oh, they're turning to go inside. I think let's just follow them in.
No, yes, let's follow them in and see what's going on.
Why don't you go back to the playhouse? Can you keep a secret? Your parents would kill you. Max would kill me.
Oh, my.
Whoa. Oh, my. This isn't regular dancing.
Is this the bit?
Hey, what are you guys doing here? Who are you guys? Who invited you? What's your name?
Okay, now here,
what's your name?
What's his name? Mel?
My name's Ray. What's your name?
Ray. Elmer.
Elmer, I think you'd be more comfortable with the regular dancing outside. This is doity dancing.
It looks pretty dirty.
This is a doity dancing.
I'm gonna head back outside. I think I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that.
Who is that guy you were talking
Somewhere
to?
In Time episode again? Because I don't think I remember how the bit's supposed to go. In my mind, I saw Elmer and Jeff dirty dancing.
Yeah.
Like doing dirty dancing together.
Yeah.
But then, what's his name? Leo?
This guy, Ray.
Ray came in again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't like that guy.
Maybe too much character work this week.
You think? Do you think what you want to just do the sound effect?
Jack, early, what sound effect?
For time travel. Let's get him out of here. Yeah.
Jack, early in the film, we are introduced to Penny, who is Patrick Swayze's, I guess, like creative partner.
Yeah.
And she is giving samba lessons.
Mm-hmm.
In the foreground is a man in a yellow polo shirt that's been tucked into plaid, sort of like thigh-length shorts.
Yeah.
And he's got the little, thinnest little belt you've ever seen in your life holding them up. Just...
Right.
Microns thick.
Yeah.
Knee-high, sort of powder blue socks.
Yeah.
And like penny loafers, like dress loafers.
Mm-hmm.
On his face is like just this picture-perfect mustache, not a hair out of place.
Yeah.
He's bringing an energy to the scene and an enthusiasm to the scene that's infectious.
Yeah.
You notice him. He's the focal point of the scene. He's really just dancing his heart out.
Yeah.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played that fucking part.
Ugh. God damn it. Yeah. You could have been that guy. Pencil mustache.
Pencil mustache.
Penny loafers.
Corny outfit.
Yeah.
Just dancing his little heart out. Sambaing his heart out.
Yeah. But can you dance?
Smashing those bananas, as Penny keeps saying.
That's what she said.
That's how you learn how to dance. You smash
those bananas. Yeah.
Can I dance? Good question.
You can lumber around.
I can lumber. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask, I was going to turn it back on you, because I when I am dancing, or what I think of as dancing,
yeah,
it feels like dancing, but then I'm wondering from an outsider's perspective, what does that situation look like to you?
I think you're fine. I'm in a worse shape because, like, there was a time in my life where I could, like, I could rave dance pretty good.
Right. Yeah, I've seen
like,
it.
Like, I could do the liquid and, like, the jumping, the kind of, it's like a very a physical jumpy dance that, like, doesn't work well if anyone's near you at all.
Right, right, right.
It's like very performative, but it's also very like don't get near me, which
have
is kind
of
not
the gif of the guy who's like completely bald and he's like,
okay, he's doing Tanner's doing things with his face, which
can you do that dance?
Remind to everybody who listens that I
it's my meme
this,
of the week.
But it can't. It's nothing. What's happened for you as a listener is nothing. There was silence there that I filled by explaining to you that Tanner was doing something with his face. Then I'm continuing to fill because he's Googling something. Let's pretend I have seen it.
You're about to have seen it.
Okay,
because I'm sending it to you now.
That's another awesome fucking experience for listeners I've found. Can I share with you what happens in the movie? Because I don't think we've talked about it at all.
yeah, but I do want to. I do want you to tell me if you can. If you've got this guy's same moves.
I haven't received your text. There he is. Oh, I don't like... Yeah, I've seen this guy. And I've got his moves. He looks awful. It's called... If you want to see it, it's called Gurning Rave Guy Part 1. And he's really... He's obviously, like, on drugs, I think.
Oh, like you
would. No, that's not what I do. That's not what
okay.
I do.
My you, shit you is do like that at weddings?
But I guess what I'll say, no, I don't anymore. But there was a time in my life like that was like the transition from my rave period to my like being a normal human who sometimes is in dancing situations period, where I was like, what if I bring my rave dancing to this normal situation? And like I thought it was cool, and it just like
honestly it sounds cool.
Wasn't.
Maybe this is why we're friends, because that sounds cool as hell. Like if I was at a wedding and I was like bored and like, you know, I'm like dancing with like my friends and my wife and just sort of doing my boppy dance, and some guy starts coming out and doing like fucking like liquid orb like rave dancing.
We were, so my friend and I, who both came from the rave scene, ended up going to the same college in Scotland. And the first week that we were there, there was an article written about us in the college newspaper that was like, who were those guys who brought glow sticks to the Friday dance?
They were like sucking on pacifiers.
So that maybe you're right.
Yeah.
We should say the movie. So the plot of the film is that the main plot is between Baby and Patrick Swayze. But he is working class. He comes from a working class background. She comes from a very rich waspy background.
Yep.
His dance partner, who is not his girlfriend, but it is his longtime business partner and
friend.
And
they did date when they were children.
Yeah, they were dated when they were very young, we're told. She has become pregnant thanks to this
nasty,
kind of evil guy.
Busboy named Robbie.
Robbie. And she needs money for an abortion, which Baby learns and borrows money from her dad to help
her. Who is a kind-hearted doctor.
And he's like, she's like, trust me, Daddy, I would tell you if this money was for something that you wouldn't approve of, but I can't tell you what it is. You just have to trust me. And he's like, okay, I'll give you $250, which is like a lot of money in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so she helps them.
Even more.
But the operation is botched by this like creepy,
shady
doctor.
Back
and then
alley
the daddy,
doctor.
The daddy who is a doctor, Baby's daddy, Baby's baby daddy.
Baby's.
Has to be woken.
Baby daddy.
Woken in the middle of the night in order to save her, which he does, but it causes kind of a rift between Baby and Daddy. I know
and
this is
Daddy
confusing.
And Johnny.
And Johnny.
Whose last name is have we both forgotten?
Castley.
Castle.
Castle.
Johnny Castle.
Johnny Castle.
Such
yeah,
cool
that's
last
awesome.
Name. Fucking nailed it. Who wrote this one? Not Peter Sagal, right?
And then the daddy is like, Johnny Castle must have been the perpetrator of this knocking
Eleanor
up.
Bergstein.
And so therefore you can never see him again, and we're ending our vacation. And then he gets fired. Johnny Castle gets fired for this because the head of the the club is like, you perpetrated this knocking up.
Yeah, his Weasley little son that we were talking about earlier tattled on them.
Yeah, but then we get to the scene, right, where he's fired, but he comes back anyway. And he's like, normally I do the last dance. And he says, nobody puts baby in a corner.
Right.
And he gets baby, and the dad is like, is about to get up, and then the mom is like, just, it's fucking Patrick Swayze, dude.
Yeah, just let him do it.
Just let him do whatever it is. And then he does the most beautiful dance with her, because he's been teaching her dance lessons the whole time.
Dude can move. Oh, yeah, she had to learn how to dance,
so that
kind
she
of
could
a crash course,
in.
So she could fill in while Penny went and had her operation. Ooh. And then she really learns how to dance.
And she gets really good at it. And it's a thing. Is this interesting? Tell me if this is interesting. Everyone knows it, so it's not interesting.
Peter Sagal thing? It is interesting, I think.
It's not the Peter Sagal thing. It's the reportedly Patrick Swayze was like genuinely annoyed with Jennifer Grey because he's an incredible dancer, and she was like very
slow to
learn.
You can tell. Dude can fucking move.
Dude can dance. And so like the scenes where he's like being really annoyed with her are, according to, you know, whatever movie blogs, are actual just genuine outtakes of him being like super fucking genuinely frustrated.
It's funny because he is incredibly patient.
Yeah.
Like he does sort of like get annoyed with her every now and then, but he's very patient with her.
There's one particular scene where he's doing a move that involves him like tickling her breast. And she's like constantly, like, that's like supposed to be incredibly sensual, but she is constantly cracking up. And apparently that's like genuine outtakes where, because she's like very ticklish. And he's like, his annoyance on his face is like fucking palpable. fucking, I'm Patrick Swayze.
She gets good at dancing. There's like a million montages set to music of people
dancing.
It's
beautiful. It's beautiful. Nobody puts baby in a corner, and they dance like, they just do it, and they do the big lift, and everybody, and that's the whole movie, and it's
Robbie
beautiful.
Hands baby a copy of The Fountainhead.
Yeah, so
just
that...
like how Jack and I met.
That's a, so this is what Robbie says is at the 29-minute mark. He goes, so Robbie's the asshole who like
got Penny pregnant.
Got Penny
and
pregnant
then, like, didn't,
and
then didn't
he doesn't
like,
want to
I'm not going to
take any
it.
Responsibility. Yeah. And I think possibly in relation to this, like baby is like, "Hey, what the fuck, dude?" And he turns to her, he hands her a copy of The Fountainhead, and he says,
"Some people count. Some people don't." Read it. I think it's a book you'll enjoy, but make sure you return it. I have notes in the margin.
And it was a revelation for me because, like, and you know what? I guess, like, with the exception of anyone who's listening to this who feels differently, but I didn't realize that The Fountainhead was always for assholes. For some reason in my mind.
I know.
I was like, it only became for assholes later.
That, like, that's what I thought. I was like, how prescient that, like, Eleanor Bergstein figured this out in, like, 1987.
I think it's, I haven't read it. Like, because growing up, I learned of The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged as just being, like, great American novels. And that was the context I had for them. But then it's only recently that they've taken on this, like, valency that is like it's for assholes, but it turns out probably if you
it's
read it,
been for assholes.
It's about like their books about like it's good to be selfish is the point of them. So probably
it's like some people matter and some people don't.
Some people don't. Yeah, read it.
Read it.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that guy's an asshole. That's my hot take.
Yeah, he was an asshole. Although that is a funny thing to do, and it is how we met.
Yeah, it is. It's how you and I met, and you were like, "I will read it."
Jack, I'm very interested in this. Can you recommend any other books along these lines? Or any like thought leaders or podcasters who like to sort of espouse these virtues?
That's sweet. I've been something of a mentor to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to do our hit segment?
Cool School?
No. You bailed so hard on the Jeff and Elmer bit. I don't know if you can handle Cool School in the frame of mind.
I don't have a Cool School, but I will say those people dirty dancing in that like bunkhouse.
Yeah,
they were putting on like a fucking.
They were
clinic.
So cool.
Those are like the coolest people I've ever.
It wasn't.
Seen in my life.
It didn't feel that dirty to me.
Oh, they were like grinding on one another.
Yeah, yeah. It was like MTV's The Grind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were cool. It's so good. You have to watch it. If you haven't seen it, this movie fucking rules. But actually, that's a good segue to this segment, which is famously called On the One Hand.
Yeah.
And what we do is I found some reviews that express different opinions.
Yeah.
I've actually got a few. It's this one.
And then we synthesize them into our own sort of opinion. And then,
yeah, we can.
And then we... Do we write that down or not?
We can if you want.
It makes you anxious.
It makes me anxious. So I think those are two separate segments. But yes, often one leads to the other. But we need... we're going to have... Arbiter Tanner is going to come in and tell us which one of these things is right.
Okay.
And then you and I, if we feel like it and if we have time, but we don't have to...
I don't think it should be you and I. I think it should be you and Arbiter Tanner.
Yeah, me and Arbiter Tanner. Can it be Ray and Arbiter Tanner?
I would love that. Oh, we did say there's been a little bit too much character work this episode already.
You said that. I love the amount of character work. People weigh it in the comments. But so I've pulled these from Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
And I've got they're all short, but I've got one 5-star review and a few half-star reviews to balance it out. The 5-star review is very glowing, so I wanted to get a few half-star reviews to properly balance it out. And then we can just kind of decide who's right here, who's got the right of it.
Well, we won't. Arbiter Tanner will.
So the 5-star review written on April 21st, 2021 was written by a guy called Road H.
Okay.
I assume that stands for Roadhead. Right? His name is Road H.
Yeah. You don't think it stands for the other film that Patrick Swayze was very famously in called Roadhouse?
Roadhouse. No, I don't think so.
No.
Why would someone called Road H review
come and,
Dirty
and leave
Dancing?
A glowing review on another Patrick Swayze film? I don't
Road
know.
Road H, you're in the wrong movie.
This sequel to Roadhouse, Dirty Dancing, is so good.
Here's
prequel.
What...
Maybe it's a prequel.
Here's what Road H says. Dirty Dance, 5 stars. It's great. Dirty Dancing is one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's so great. All the actors were awesome and the entire cast did an amazing job.
They did do a good job.
And I'm not a fan of romantic movies, but this is an absolute must see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
She, he?
Yeah. I don't know. It's Road H. It's Road Central Roadhead.
Checked every box.
Yeah. They checked every box. So that's a good one.
Every one of my boxes.
But let's hear, on the other hand.
All right, if you think.
On the other hand, I've got 3 reviews that I want to read to you. They're all very short.
If you think.
Here's what Steve... Well, you may be swayed. Here's what Steven... We were quickly swayed by Roadhead.
Don't think it's Roadhead.
Here's what Steven Y says. 0.5 star on May 2nd, 2021. A diabolical film.
Is it always like religious nuts who are giving all these movies a 0.5 star?
A diabolical film. If you're watching this to impress a partner, (parentheses) the only reason I can see, then trust me,
you're
they're
right.
Not worth
I
the hour and a half
impress, Jack.
Sacrifice you'll make watching this. A plot as transparent as cling film and acting as rigid as cardboard.
Oof.
Wow, that's a Stephen Wise.
Diabolical.
Do you want to hear what Erica T says?
Yeah.
Also, 0.5 star on August 8th, 2020. If you like silly movies with bad... I like this one just because I liked her fucking tone. I liked what she... Because she is talking directly to me.
Yeah.
If you like silly movies with bad acting, it's for you.
I do. But I don't... I wouldn't describe this as that.
I never could quite understand the appeal of the fluff. And that's in air quotes.
Huh.
So she says... this is, she is recommending it. If
Can
you
I
like
say something?
Silly
what was her
movies
name?
With Erica T...
I bet Erica T listens to the news.
Yeah, she listens to the news. I bet she watches documentaries.
I bet she watches documentaries.
Okay, I've got one more.
Yep.
And this is from Warren B.
Warren Beatty?
No, but I do feel obliged to say it's kind of easy when you listen to the G'd Up sound, Pioneer's speakers bumping when you smoke on the pound. I got the sound for your ass, and it's easy to see that this DJ be Warren B. I do have to say that.
I don't think that's how the song goes.
It's literally how
Notably
the song
because,
goes.
Notably because that rapper's name is Warren G.
Okay, fine. I changed one letter. Warren B. says, 0.5 star, April 25th, 2020. See Top Gun review. Same film, except this one is a million times worse.
Wait. Is it the same film?
No, there's nothing like it. And what's Top Gun review?
See Top Gun review. So what's
oh,
his name?
See Top Gun review.
What is
See
his name?
Top Gun review. Warren B.
I think we're probably going to have to go check that out, right?
I was like, is Top Gun review? Because I've cleaned up his language. It makes no sense what he's written. There's a lot of typos.
I'm going to go see if I can find his Top Gun review.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm on Rotten Tomatoes. I've never been here before. It's
scary.
I always
right?
make you do the dirty work.
Yeah.
Let's look at the ratings and reviews. Warren G, the
it's
rapper.
Warren, no, it's Warren B.
Warren Peace. Top Gun. Jack.
Okay. Yes.
I've reverse engineered. I've backtraced.
Yeah, you backtraced them.
Warren B.
Yeah.
And I found all his reviews. Mostly, here's one movie he gave a 5-star.
Okay.
Back to the Future.
Okay, so he does like some classic 80s movies.
But most of the films he gives some pretty poor ratings.
Okay.
Although he did say, he did give The Simpsons, the 2007 Simpsons film.
Yeah, it's a great one.
3.5 stars.
It's a good movie.
And he said, an okay movie based off the series feels like a parody of Twin Peaks, which
okay,
I don't think is right.
So he's got, there's something about like the connections he makes in his brain where he's like, hey, if you've seen one Top Gun type movie, you've seen them all. And I didn't need to see this Dirty Dancing film, which is obviously kind of in the same mold as the famous airplane fighting film Top Gun.
Here's his Top Gun review.
Yeah.
You gotta ask yourself, you know, what with all these slapstick comedies of the 80s?
Okay. What is with that? Yeah.
Why this movie got greenlit.
Okay.
Or even exists.
Okay.
It's a dumb shit pile of a film that makes me barf uncontrollably every time it shows up on the screen.
Wait, and he says this one is a million times worse.
It's brutal. If you're looking for patriotism, watch Saving Private Ryan. Or join the military. Either one's better than sitting through this pile of cat feces. Cats and this movie are pretty much the same movies.
He says, wait, this is the same as Cats?
Yeah.
So
wait, scratch that. This movie's more like Dirty Dancing, only it's males and they're in the military. Oh my God. So he's like...
Whoa. Okay, so which one did he write first?
I don't know. And now Cats is involved, which I don't think he has reviewed. Oh, he has reviewed Roadhouse. 2 stars.
No, we can't. Yeah, I don't want to go too deep into this guy's warped mind.
Oh, I got to read this one to you.
Okay, fine.
I've never heard of this film.
Yeah.
But in 2018, there was a film called Banana Split.
Okay.
Warren B., 1.5 star, more like banana shit.
Okay. I worry for this guy, man. I don't know what he enjoys.
I like him.
I don't know if we have time to review this.
I don't think we need to. I think Warren B. did a good job. Warren B. said everything I was going to say.
Do you want to just get in there and write more like banana shit? Dirty Dancing.
Ugh.
Hey, Dirty Dancing? More like banana shit.
Yeah.
That's
more
good.
Like flirty. I don't know.
Hey.
You're the suckificator.
Hey, thanks for inviting me to your wedding, Tana.
Not Ray.
What's gonna happen after the after the speeches and after everybody's had their food, Tana?
I guess we'll dance.
Doity dancing.
Can we go?
You don't like this guy?
I hope he never makes it out of this episode. Frankly. If any of the Jeff and Elmer stuff made it into the final cut, it's clear that their shelf life has really expired.
I don't know, man. It looks like he's really latched himself onto them. So if they leap, what if he comes with them?
I don't think they need to leap. Arbor Tanner says, it passes judgment on whoever the first one was who was so effusive. Because I'm with Ray. I'm with Warren G.
Yeah.
I'm a regulator.
You're a regulator, and it's easy when you listen to the G'd Up Sound Pioneer speakers bumping when you smoke on the pound.
Yeah.
I think we should go.
Okay.
We do have to leave. We also have to go. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank... Do you want to thank Ray?
Yeah, Ray, thanks so much for coming. Thanks so much for being here.
It was great to meet you, man.
You're welcome. Next week, Jack, we're watching a film that I've been eager to watch for some time. But you won't let me because you said it'll make us too horny.
Okay.
And it's called 50 Shades of Grey.
No, fuck. Oh, fuck. Okay, fuck.
You're worried about how horny you'll be?
No, I'm not worried about how horny I'll be. I think I can handle it.
You're comfortable with the level of horniness you'll be at.
I just don't know that I'll love it. But that's okay.
Did you think that you would love Your Name, the anime we watched?
No.
Did you think you would love City of Angels starring Nick Cage and Meg Ryan?
Definitely not.
And did you love both those movies?
I loved Your Name. Okay, no, I think it's time. We're going to do 50 Shades of Grey next week. I have some ideas for what we do after. Well, I had some ideas for what we're going to do next week, but it is definitely your turn to pick a film for us. And you have chosen the classic bondage Twilight fanfic known as
Romance.
50 Shades of Grey. Romance, and I'm looking forward to it. Won't that be fun? Everybody, please do remember to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Let me tell you this. It takes a kind of ridiculous amount of work. I know it sounds stupid to do this podcast, and it's free, and the ads actually don't pay us that much, even though we have a lot of ads. So if you would like to support the show and keep us going and keep us alive and make our work somewhat paid work, the best way you can do that is to support us through Patreon for only $5 a month. So this is my genuine plea for you to do that. It's also you get a great show that we do.
It's also a very fun show. In fact, it's as good as this show.
Yeah, it's patreon.com.
If not better.
Yeah. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's also a lovely community of people. And please take a moment and do that. All that remains is now for me to say that this week we watched a film. That film was, of course, called Dirty Dancing. And next week we are going to be watching a classic movie called 50 Shades of Grey.
I can't wait.
I can wait.
Should we watch the trilogy?
No. Well,
I think you kind of, it's like stopping after Fellowship of the Rings, you know?
Yeah, it's like that. Here's a rule for the show now. If we watch the first of a series, we have to see it through. So that means that now we have to also watch the two
Dirty
other
Dancing
Twilight
to,
movies. And Dirty
Nights.
Dancing 2, Havana Nights. Did you know that was written by some guy from the fucking radio?
Not any guy, Jack. Peter Sagal.
I will tell you now that my name this week has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name was Elmer. My name was Arbiter Tanner. I did briefly inhabit the role of Ray.
Yeah, not very well.
But now
you would say his catchphrase.
As I'm seeing you off, I am once again Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you find your Johnny Cassidy ever after.
Pretty good.
Yeah. We might be childhood friends.